from SLB Radio in Pittsburgh, Youth Express, the nation's first 24/7 radio station devoted to youth writing, music, and conversation.
I don't know why some people look down on people who either give up on college or never go in the first place.
There are people that just hate you because of your race or ethnicity, but we are definitely making progress.
She's hungry for everything, the life within, trying to find her way around again. Looking and searching is what she's doing.
So I followed my brother down to the riverbank, and we donned our skates. While Lev hurried, I tarried. While Lev trudged through the slush, I caught a flake on my tongue.
My parents are from Bhutan. They migrated to Nepal, and I born there, and I moved here in the US. So it's a long journey to get here.
On today's show, original music and two youth-produced documentaries. We start with a piece by Paul and Tyrell, 11th graders from Nazareth College and Career Prep. They share their findings on video game violence and its effect on young people.
Today, we're here to talk about violent video games and their impact on young children. Statistics show that 85% of video games contain some form of violence, and 90% of children in the U.S. play video games. This means that 90% of kids are in some form exposed to violence, which can give growing kids a perception of violence. This can impact one's knowledge and behavior in a negative way.
We spoke with Marlena Abraham, a game designer at Shell Games, a full-service game design and development company specializing in transformational games. She talks about her personal experience with video games and how they don't necessarily cause people to be violent.
Smaller instances that I've seen with friends, it's not usually the video game that's causing it. It's the video game that's allowing for outbursts the way that it's designed. But it's not something that I have seen, like, through being violent and cool, influencing people to do violent actions in real life. While there can be instances of video games causing people to get very angry with their friends if they lose in something or some rule didn't favor them, it's usually part of a larger issue. There are folks who have problems with anger. There are folks who are more competitive and harder on their teammates. And so at least in the smaller instances that I've seen with friends, it's not usually the video game that's causing it. It's the video game that's allowing for outbursts the way that it's designed.
She also talks about stress and addiction to video games and how you can take your anger out in the game.
Because addiction happens when you're not happy, generally speaking. If you have something horrible happening in your life, bad home life, or you have a lot of stress from like holding down three jobs or a number of different things, you can get addicted to something that you enjoy.
Parents need to pay more attention to the video games that they allow their children to play. Marlena also speaks about game ratings and what they mean.
There's a system in the United States and then different ones around the world to say what's the minimum age who can play these games. The same thing for movies, the way that movies rated G and PG and PG-13 and R. For instance, M-level games are M for mature, so usually you want to be around at least 18 before you play those games, although it really comes down to maturity level and if parents or guardians think that it's an okay game to play for their kids. There are a set of guidelines, and usually you can trust them fairly well. From a personal perspective, I think that games have ratings for a reason. You probably don't want a really young kid playing Grand Theft Auto, for example, to its full extent, or I could name a couple of pretty violent horror video games. I think that they're a form of entertainment, and so if somebody who is above the maturity level wants to buy them and wants to enjoy them, I think that that's fine. But again, it's probably a good idea to keep them away from kids while they're still learning and while they're still developing.
Marlena explains how she views, from her perspective, that it is not the game that makes people toxic. It is the person playing combined with the game and their competitive nature.
From the games that I've helped make, it's not usually violence itself that has a bad effect. It's usually gameplay that is toxic, things that make people yell at each other or form grudges in a bad way. And typically, as a game designer, we try to design games that are multiplayer or games that are single player in a way that if they are violent in any way or have violent mechanics, that they at least don't have that lasting impact, that they're just fun and lighthearted without causing anger and grudges against one's friends.
We as teenagers have noticed this in our lifetime and witnessed friends get angry while playing video games.
This has been Paul.
And Tyrell, and we have learned that it is one's natural competitiveness that leads to one's frustration and mixed emotion that causes people to react outside of the video games.
Now, Melina Bowser from North Allegheny High School with an original song entitled The Sound. Melina Bowser, recorded in 2018 at the Andy Warhol Museum during its annual Youth Invasion event, where teens showcase music, art, and fashion. Our last segment was produced by Alexander Schempf, featuring record stores in Pittsburgh and their bounce back into popularity.
For over 100 years, musicians have recorded music in a form that could be purchased by the general public. Cassette tapes, 8-tracks, and many other forms of distribution were used by musical artists. As music technology has advanced, many forms of distribution have become obsolete. One format, however, has remained the same. Vinyl records have been a staple for music lovers. Though continually popular collector's items, vinyl records have had a recent resurgence. I caught up with Fred Bond, owner of Attic Records in Millvale, one of about a dozen flourishing vinyl stores in the greater Pittsburgh area, about the long-standing existence of records.
If you think about it, there's really nothing that's around in its same state that has been the same for this long period of time.
Fred gave his opinion as to why so many music lovers find a common interest in records.
It's a personalized thing. There's so much music out there, and it doesn't really matter what you're into. There's something in records for just about everybody. Record collecting, I guess, in a way, is sort of like a motorcycle club where you have something in common, and the people that have it think alike. Even if you're into different types of music, it's still something that you have in common that's unique. It's such a wide market.
Despite the fact that records first became available to listeners via gramophone in the late 1880s, Fred says that music lovers of all ages continue to be captivated by records' unique qualities and quirks that CDs and other modernized forms of music recording cannot provide.
Well, it continuously keeps getting younger and younger. It doesn't surprise me on a daily basis to have an 8-year-old kid coming in looking for AC/DC records.
Since the store opened over 3 decades ago, Fred has seen how the surrounding neighborhood can benefit from the enduring record community.
Well, I mean, it's been a Millvale staple for many, many years. Like, there's a lot of people that use us as a landmark when they're looking for other things in Millvale.
This enthusiasm for records is not limited to one spot in Pittsburgh. Across town, Jerry Weber, owner of the well-known Jerry's Records in Squirrel Hill, also shares Fred's sentiments.
I've seen more people walk out of here with a smile on their face over the last 40 years.
According to Jerry, Pittsburgh has always had a very strong presence in the record community.
When National Record Mart was the first chain of music stores in the United States of America, and they were based in Pittsburgh.
Jerry has noticed that the ages of those interested in record collecting are getting younger.
70% of the people in here are as young as 16 and right on up to the 30s.
From the Attic to Jerry's to other record stores such as Mindcure in Pittsburgh's Polish Hill and 720 Records in Lawrenceville, Pittsburgh's vinyl scene still is as strong as ever. As a music format that has withstood the test of time, records continue to play an important role in the Pittsburgh community.
Because it's cool. It's cool to buy records.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Youth Express. Youth Express is made possible with support from the Henry L. Hillman Foundation, the Pittsburgh Penguins Foundation, and the 33 Foundation, and was produced by SLB Radio Productions. Learn more at youthexpress.org.